I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, you. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's back from the Straw Bear Festival.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
The bariest of them all.
Yes.
That's right, everybody. The Football Ramble in your ears once again. The Straw Bear Festival, Luke.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we've got time to go into it. I'll just explain it to you off before the show. But
I think it's best you don't.
I tell you, if people do want to get in touch and ask me about it, I'll happily help them out on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah. It's not a good look, is it?
Uh-huh. But the jumper he's bought?
Well, the jumper's quite nice.
It is nice.
It's just a common or garden sweatshirt. That's all it is.
From the loom.
Yeah. Donaldson would buy one of these. Mm-hmm. Right? I bought this from the Straw Bear Festival, £16. Donaldson would buy one of these, Donny, a.k.a. PD.
Yeah.
He'd buy one of these from Beyond Retro in Soho for about 150 quid, I expect.
And I'd love it.
Yeah, you would. And you'd wear it down the Groucho.
Only once, though, because it would somehow get ripped or stained.
Yeah. You're like one of those dictators, aren't you, where you'll only wear the same shirt once.
No, it's
isn't that Prince Charles with the socks?
Is that true?
Yeah, he gets new socks every day.
Right, okay.
New sucks every day. New sucks every day.
We all know, that's a lovely song. Yeah. We all know someone at uni, presumably, I certainly do, who used to, when he moved into student digs, would only use paper plates and just chuck them away.
That's awful.
It was the 90s. There's no problem with environmental sustainability then.
We had China plates in the 90s. Hang
on. No, but I mean, no one cared about the environment.
But it wasn't the 90s, though, was it?
Well, it was to start with.
Yeah. Okay. Bloody time. Yeah. Marched on.
So you got rid of the CFC emitting hairsprays and introduced the pepper plates.
It was the Exxon Mobil era.
I tell you what, a chap who lived next door to me in student digs, once he got a package sent through for his mother. I kid you not, he pulled it out, new pair of boxer shorts.
Nice. Just one.
These will
see you through the term.
I think I tweeted from the Football Ramble account on Christmas Day, I received a cup that my dad had made on Photoshop, mm-hmm. which I think we may have mentioned on the show even. But to give it to me, he wrapped it in a pair of pants he found in the bathroom that belonged to me, and then wrapped it in some paper.
To disguise the shape.
But
also sends you your pants back, surely.
Yeah, I know, but it's just a bit... I was in the same house, though. He just found them on the floor and went, let's wrap them in that.
PD.
It's disgusting.
It's only a matter of time before your dad starts photoshopping your pants.
I imagine that. That'd be a brilliant little sideline. If we can get your dad to start photoshopping weird pictures of you, we can start selling the pants.
Yeah.
Oh, what, pictures of me on
pictures
people's
you,
pants?
Like,
nobody wants
whatever
that.
Whatever your dad wants, he's got...
That's a mood killer. There's a folder on my dad's desktop, genuinely, that is just cut out pictures of me and his family, so he can do little Photoshops.
It could be a good sideline, because we need to generate a bit more money these days, because the pound has fallen to record lows.
It has.
Are you trying to drag it to
link.
The opening question?
He's doing a link. Let him do a link.
He messed it up, that's the problem.
Pete, Linker's going to link.
Watch this link.
He's the eponymous hero from the Nintendo series Zelda.
Yeah.
Link. His name's Link.
That's fine.
I nearly corrected you then and said that it's the heroine, but it's not. It's Zelda, isn't it?
Yeah. Now then, gentlemen, the pound has fallen again to record lows. It's in trouble. It's flopping.
Yes.
Mm. So in light of that, if you were an owner of a football club, how on earth would you save money, Jim? A British football club, of course.
Yeah, obviously. Well, I think what I would do is... Well, I was going to say, actually, one thing you could do would be have loads of staff on less than the minimum wage, but loads of clubs already do
and
that.
And it is a laughing matter.
So, Mike Ashley's like, what?
So, you can't do that. But on a similar vein to that, what I think I would do would be get rid of loads of those staff and on match days have players who aren't in the club having to do a job in the stadium. Like, you know, Diego Costa at the moment, you know, refusing to play allegedly and blah, 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 blah. If I was Antonio Conte, I'd be like, right, well, you're not in the squad, but you're going to come to the game and you're going to clean up at half time. You're going to clean up the beer spillages. And no, you can't wear a mask or anything, Diego. You're going to have to face your public.
Antonio Conte. I imagine he's come fairly close to suggesting.
Well, yeah, Diego Costa be selling the coffee, or could there be a right sort of
anything again? You can tally that up and you get a sponsorship in.
We can't get a good sponsorship way to make on this money, but good tie-in for him.
Yeah. He needs more money.
So that's what I would do. I would just have them doing other jobs. And, you know, what more motivation would you need to get your way into the matchday squad?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to do this job like normal people do. And there was a lot of stuff.
No, but if they know who you are.
There was a lot of stuff on Goals on Sunday about that this weekend with Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. They said, well, how's it different between being a player and a manager? And to cut a long story short, he essentially just described a normal job and went, yeah, it's really hard. I was up at 6:30.
I've got to go in when I say I'm going to come in. People are relying on me.
Do you know what the time he used to finish, as in to give it what a long day this is? The time he used as an example of some of the times he finished as QPR manager, 6 p.m.
I tell you who was...
Not even a 12-hour shift.
No, it's not.
I tell you, I'm pretty sure he didn't start, you know, flipping burgers or anything, but Maurice Voltz around Fulham was quite a club man, and he would go around like with a charity bucket and all that.
I forgot about
Maurice
Voltz.
Good man.
That rings a bell, actually. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
He was a good club man down at Fulham. Luke?
Right, I think people, chairman and clubs, should approach this sort of practically. Now, we all know it's very, very expensive in London, isn't it? We all live here, we all know that. Some of us even own property here. And we all know how expensive it is.
Who are they?
I do, actually. Yeah, it's me, I meant them.
Well done, you.
I own a shoe I found in a well.
Yeah, that's not...
That's mine.
You've got that on loan. That's got to go back.
That's mine.
So what I would obviously do is tell these football clubs who are based in London to swallow your pride, stop having too much sort of your own sort of self-importance, move up north.
Right.
It's a lot cheaper up there.
Get more for less.
I know about the fans, but you can get new fans.
What would you tell the clubs who are up north already?
just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Share have we got wealth. A club in the Pennines? Let's stick one there.
I don't know if there are any clubs up north. I see what you're saying, Marcus. Well, I can't really think of any that are up there. So, I mean, the London ones could save some money by moving up there. Mm. They'll get a whole lot of new fans. Mm-hmm.
Move to the commuter belt.
Yeah, there you go.
For example, Milton Keynes is nice.
Watford, that's north, isn't it?
You could move Chelsea, for example. Watford. Move Chelsea to High Wycombe.
Play your matches online.
Yeah, there you go.
Esports.
Yeah, overhead.
Wolfsburg have got a professional esports team.
Lots of places up now. Yeah. They do betting markets and everything on the esports now.
You have a go at the listeners for poor emails, and now you're just sort of...
Well, we've got some more emails coming later, so we'll judge them on their merits.
I know, and I'm just saying, and then your comments there about clubs in the north and so on, I expect a backlash soon.
I can handle it.
Peter.
Well, we know that printing things is expensive.
Oh, God.
P.S. by the book.
Yeah.
I just think that matchday programmes are a waste of paper.
Right.
Yeah. And I think the manager should have to come out before every match and read out a memo of what he's written.
Yeah,
like you have like the note from the manager in every programme.
He's got nothing on half hour before kick-off.
Yeah, exactly.
Possibly the most pivotal program this week. Where's the gaffer? What's the tactic?
Just pop out.
You'd have to combine it with a team talk, surely, but in some sort of code.
Yeah.
He's talking up local businesses to the people in the car park.
Imagine the players sat around the dressing room. Where's the manager? What are the tactics? And they're from a distance on a big speaker somewhere. They hear a very warm welcome to Leeds United this afternoon.
So, Steve, I want you to mark, and it's an honour to be this. It really is. Philip, are there any Philips in football? Philip Lam? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
How much money is that going to save? Like Dragon's Den, I want to know the numbers. If you don't know the numbers, I'm not invested in this.
£2,000.
Yeah, probably.
Anybody buy, people do buy programmes nowadays, don't they?
Yeah, I was always
a fan of a fanzine.
As a kid, I was always a man who would go. Oh, I wasn't a kid.
I was always a man.
I was always a man. That's
who owned property.
You're not a man now. I always used to buy the fanzine rather than the official programme.
Hello, sir. I am definitely old enough to buy this fanzine.
Exactly.
With its rude jokes.
And cartoons.
Getting players off the wage bill is one way of saving money.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That often clubs have to do that, don't they? You can't sign
Hit
players
with an axe,
to...
maybe?
Is this your resignation?
You can't sign players to, so I'd follow in the footsteps of that chap in Ecuador, if you remember, and introduced to England the player chairman role.
I like that. Mm. So basically the best player of the week gets to be the chairman for the following week.
Mm. No, I'm playing.
Oh, okay, right. That's worse.
No.
That's worse.
I mean, if you gave like Balotelli or something the chairmanship, he'd be buying like fireworks and
you the
trampolines.
What is Marcus the chairman of anyway?
Well, I said if you were an owner of a football club.
Oh, okay, fine, fair enough.
The question, mate.
Yeah, I forgot about it. He's got this Men in Black type memory eraser thing on me. Every time he says something, I forget everything else that preceded it.
Oh, I see.
Well, the end is red.
Yeah. Jim's got the points.
Yeah,
Jim. Move on to the Premier League. If in doubt, give Jim the points.
You are getting depressingly worse at giving out the points.
What?
It's upsetting.
Pete,
you're a shadow of your former self when it comes to dishing out points.
Get better answers,
mate. Did you not hear Pete? The end is red. That's poor. That's poor.
And it's nigh.
Give me a little chuckle.
What about Manchester City? Is Pep Guardiola's end coming?
I didn't think Man City were very good.
No. Neither did everybody else. No. The perfect afternoon is how Ronald Koeman summed up his Sunday after the events at Goodison Park.
His Twitter feed was glorious.
I'm surprised you didn't mention that in the running order. You wanted to surprise us with that, did you?
Well, it's not really a surprise, is it? You knew I was going to mention it.
You spent a lot of time on Koeman's on Twitter feed.
Not that much.
You get updates on your phone with every tweet.
Well, I follow him, Jim.
Alert,
you idiot.
Pretty much every second day we'll get an update on Koeman's Twitter feed.
Yeah, on WhatsApp. It's
you
nice.
Do love it. You do love it. You're a pervert.
It's like Twitter Inception. I don't follow him, but I still get the updates from someone who does follow him.
I don't need to follow him.
Can I just ask you guys a quick question? If there was a zombie holocaust, an outbreak, and there's a few people surviving, and you could choose football players to have when the chips were down...
Is this an alternative opening question?
Yeah. And I think you mean apocalypse as well.
A zombie holocaust, zombie apocalypse, same thing. Yeah. Would you choose Yaya Toure? Is he a man to have on your team?
Well, I mean, famously in zombie films, you need to run. So no.
Yeah, but you would have him on your team because he'd be eaten and he's massive. So he'd buy you vital time to get away.
No, it's only one bite, Jim.
No, but if they swarm him, they're going to eat him. Zombies don't just bite you and shuffle off.
Yeah, that's the only reason I'll accept.
Yeah, you've got to have a big team.
As essentially, you'd have your Arturo as bait, which sort of it does sort of emphasise my point somewhat.
He's back, isn't he? He's well and truly back to what we're known for.
I'm with Jim on this one. Zombie Holocaust suggests that all the zombies are dead.
Yeah, true.
Well,
actually,
they
yeah.
technically are, though, aren't they?
And then another film comes the after the zombie holocaust.
Right. Zombie apocalypse is fine.
Okay, but, zombie reawakening.
Just to wrestle this back to football briefly. I mean, Tom Davis for Everton had a fantastic game. And I know he's played a few games before, but this was a breakthrough performance for him against a big team on the TV.
Yes.
But it is no exaggeration to say he would have had tougher games for the academy team in midfield than he would have had against Yaya Toure.
I know what you mean, and I take the point, but Manchester City weren't dreadful in the first half. They were actually pretty good up until the goal. Did you see what I mean?
And that in itself is a problem.
It was a tidy finish from
Lukaku.
Which one are you talking about?
Lukaku, the first half. Yeah.
Well, I mean, bravo!
Yeah, I mean, there are some...
Save something!
Some absolutely incredible stats about Bravo.
He has absolutely... He literally makes no saves. Yeah. He doesn't make any saves. Boy,
Save something, I'm giving up on you.
Wait, but lovely distribution.
Yeah.
Great distribution.
When he gets the ball at the back of the net, he can boot it to the halfway line, easily.
First get time... Right on the dot. But yeah, so he's dropped the ball three times this season, which is more than any other goalkeeper, and he's conceded 42.6% of the shots he's had at him, and only Fraser Forster and Lucas Fabian Bianski have conceded more than that, and he's conceded 14 from the last 22 shots at him.
The top of the list, top of that list, is Lloris, isn't it? He lets about 25%.
No, actually, I think it's actually Tom Heaton.
Oh, is it? Okay,
yeah. But Lloris is up there as well.
Hmm. I mean, it was incredible. It was Pep's worst league defeat as a manager. Manchester City, according to some publications, had 70% possession.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
It seems quite straightforward to beat them, or at least get at them.
That's it, isn't it? We started to say at the start of the season, getting at them was what seemed to unsettle them. But Everton didn't really do that, did they? They just played their own game. They were patient. They sort of repelled City when they attacked them and took advantage. Because I think City they just seemed toothless in the final third. They remind me of Arsenal at their worst, where they just sort of ping it around a bit and then have no idea when it comes to actually scoring.
If you look at how deep De Bruyne was having to go to pick up the ball and help out Yaya Toure as much as possible, and you consider the fact that Sergio Aguero hasn't scored a league goal, I don't think, since the start of December. Of course, he had a suspension now, but that's his own fault. they don't really have a huge amount of cutting edge. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about City, I think, is that it's not a crisis, though. I mean, they're fifth, and I do think, despite all this, and I felt a bit sorry for Guardiola in the post-match interview, because he is getting absolutely battered by the press in a way that someone like Mourinho, for example, isn't. And may not have picked up now, but they've had their problems. City started very strongly, United started very poorly, and it's flipped around. I don't remember people saying that Mourinho should have been out of a job.
I don't think anyone's saying he should be out of a job.
People are saying that Guardiola's already failed in England. People are saying that all the time.
Well, what I would say is that I think a lot of his certainly defenders, they're getting on, as we've said. They need replacing. And the only defender he bought was Stones, and Stones, people are targeting him. And Pep has always said, when he came to the club, he said he likes players with a pause, he likes players who take a touch and stuff. But Stones, they're targeting him and they're not giving him the time of day.
And the thing is here, Guardiola teams, you look at the Barcelona and Bayern, they're not used to having teams in their face so much because of the way other teams play in that league. You know, Spanish sides don't really sort of press and it's all blood, guts and thunder like English sides stereotypically are. And they're not used to going behind. And this is... Guardiola's got to work this out, because if he can make them click, maybe make a few signings, whether it be in this window or in the summer. You know, Guardiola... You would have thought after the season, next season will be better for Manchester City. You know, I can't just imagine he's going to go out with a whimper. But when was it Tata Martino took over? No, or was it the late Villanova? Villanova took over from, I forget which coach it was, Piqué said this about after Guardiola had left Barcelona. But he said, we've now got a plan B. And they didn't really need a plan B, because the plan A was so flipping good at Barcelona. But the thing is now, he needs a plan B, and maybe even a plan C. And with that side, as Pete says, one or two players getting on a bit, and, hasn't made one or two of the signings that he thought he would have loved. Bonucci, for crying out loud.
Guardiola is going to be given time, and he needs to be given time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But the key thing for City this season is, you could argue that in all the pivotal games in the Premier League this season... If you look at them, they've actually only won two. They beat United at Old Trafford earlier in the season. They beat Arsenal at home. Other than that, they lost to White Hart Lane. They lost at home to Chelsea. They lost at Leicester. They lost at Anfield. And they lost at Goodison Park.
Yeah.
Those are the pivotal games they've played in the Premier League.
Barcelona
and as well. They're not in the Premier League though, Pete, actually, currently speaking. But,
you never know.
They did beat Barcelona as well.
But I'm talking about the Premier League.
Well,
the reason I say that is because you brought up the point about how teams in Europe and Spanish teams don't necessarily play in the same way that Premier League teams do to go after a team. That's my point.
Yeah.
They've won two out of those seven or so games or whatever, which isn't good enough. So I do think that they can give Guardiola time, and that, you know, people are saying that Mourinho, I read something a couple of weeks ago about Mourinho saying he needs another two transfer windows to start putting his stamp on the team. Well, if you can say that about Mourinho, you can say that about Guardiola.
Let's not be silly. We're not saying Guardiola is suddenly a bad manager and his team are rubbish and blah, 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 blah. But the point I'm seeing here is, when watching Manchester City play, is when he was in charge of Barcelona and Bayern, they would keep the ball, 70% possession they had against Everton, but the difference was he had the likes of, off the top of my head, you know Lahm Boateng at the back, or Lahm,
he's playing Zabaleta in midfield, and he's nowhere near.
Well, this is what I mean, they do not have the solid defence that Barcelona and Bayern Munich had.
Well, he moved Lahm out of defence, you know, to play in that centre, which is the weird thing. And the thing is, I just don't want Pep to spit his dummy out, which he has done before. I felt like with Rummenigge at Bayern, he fell out with Wolfart, the conditioning coach, or the doctor, or whatever.
That's right,
and he has consistently fallen out with people who he used to be quite good friends with. And I just hope that
you're worried about his black book.
I just worried about you know, you don't want people getting upset with you all the time.
The thing about City as well at the back is that Otamendi's probably been their best defender this season. Pete's made the point about Stones, which I agree with. Otamendi was and Stones were completely bullied single-handedly by Lukaku all afternoon. I mean, the great moment in point is when Otamendi and Lukaku had a bit of a set too, and Otamendi threw himself on the floor. It's like, what I know it's a bit sort of old school in quotes to be talking about centre backs being tough and being strong. You're playing against Romelu Lukaku, arguably the strongest centre forward in the Premier League. You cannot show that type of weakness against him. It just looks ridiculous to do that. So they do need to think about that. I think the first thing they should do, and Spurs fans aren't going to thank me for this, but the first thing they should do is go out and buy Alderweireld, whatever it takes, just sign him. Whatever money it takes, sign him. He's the best defender in the Premier League by a distance, in my opinion, and he would improve them almost overnight.
Everton had a lovely time though. Tom Davis.
Oh, it might be my new favourite player. Don't want to hype him too much.
Gazelled past them.
It was just nonchalantly taking two Man City players out of the game, like strolling around the park on a Sunday afternoon.
He looked a bit old school as well, the way he runs.
He's got his socks rolled down as well.
And socks rolled down, slightly long hair.
Yeah. I think I tweeted at the time, because of his blonde curtains, he does look like someone out of Dream Team. UK television show that was kind of like a fantasy football kind of drama, wasn't it?
Are we that old that we need to explain that?
Well, we have listeners from far afield.
That's true, actually, fair point. Tom Davis, I mean, I know I'm making this point about Yaya Toure again, but Tom Davis must have been thinking before the game, I'm lining up against a guy with 100 international caps. He's won the Champions League. This is going to be some learning experience for me. Yeah. Oh no, it's fine.
down the pitch. This is easy.
This is
so easy.
He doesn't even follow me.
It's like that glorious quote that Ian Wright once said when he was looking back at the start of his career, when he played. It wasn't even non-league football. I think there's a bit of a misnomer about Ed Wright. He went from like Sunday league or, you know, the kind of football that we all play, to playing against like professional players. And he just went, I couldn't believe how slow they were.
Yeah.
I love that. Ademola Lookman got his goal. It's looking good for Everton at the moment. And, you know, if they can tighten up against the teams that they should be beating, the little draws here and there and the odd losses, they talk about a top six, you know, and I think they are currently seventh, but you could talk about a top seven now with Koeman if he can establish that.
Yeah, take him away. He's on Schneider. That's a good sign.
Yes. You know,
that looks to be like a sort of semi long term replacement for Gareth Barry, who I imagine I know he's got a bit on his contract, I think, but he's not going to be around forever.
Him and Gay.
Schneider's a good sign.
When Idrissa Gay comes back from AFCON.
And also, I mean, Koeman traditionally is very good at bringing young players through, and he's showing that again. It's suddenly that, you know, three very exciting additions there to Everton's squad.
I wonder if that's anything to do with his Barcelona sort of hit history. He thinks, right, if they're good enough and they're hitting, because they must have some sort of thing where they hit the numbers that they want them to hit in terms of fitness and speed and all that kind of stuff. And you think they're sort of they're skillful and technically good enough. I think Koeman just likes to throw them in, and I think that's a good way of doing it. But for him to play Tom Davis at home to Man City in a massive game on the TV is a really brave move, and I'm pleased it paid off for them all.
There was also a good win in the Premier League for Hull City.
Yeah, it was
that blooming foreigner Marco Silva.
Oh, no. He doesn't know the Premier League. He doesn't need to know it.
Very disrespectful to Eddie Howe, wasn't it, really, in a way, for him to win that game.
No respect at all.
Yeah. Hull look like they've maybe got a bit of a new manager bounce, or maybe Silva is that good that they've hit the ground running.
You can imagine Marco Silva catching a bit of Soccer Saturday, and the way they're going on, thinking, do they still play 11v11? Are the rules still the same? Is offside count? you must think they're talking about a completely different game.
Well, you look the new manager bounce over at Sunderland with
and Palace.
I mean...
1 point from four.
None of them have enjoyed that new manager, English slash British manager bounce, have they? So
they certainly haven't. Hull looked like a different side against Bournemouth, didn't they?
Yeah, still conceded their penalty, though, don't they? They love
standard.
Yeah.
But Abel Hernandez was back, and he's a big, big plus.
Well, Snodgrass is thinking, oh, it's nice for someone else to score. Yeah. I don't have to do all myself, you know.
I loved Hernandez's second. It was like a sort of curled fizzer. You don't really see very much.
But I do think with managers like, it will remain to be seen what Marcus Silva is like as a coach in England, because of course he's only just started, but his track record and his CV is pretty good. When you think of a manager who's a serious manager, in quotes, and I don't mean someone who's brought in to give people a confidence boost, to kick up the arse and to save them from relegation, and in that I would include people like, I don't know, like Ian Holloway, Neil Warnock, Sam Allardyce, all these, Tim Sherwood even, these old school type managers, I do think there's a lot of merit in giving the managers who are actually quite thoughtful, impressive individuals a lot more time than you give those other ones. I think there's a decent argument to be made for someone like, I don't know, for like Tim Sherwood, for example, who showed a bit at the start of Villa. If you fire him after 15 games, I don't personally have a problem with that, because he's not got anything else in the locker.
Well, you know what you're going to get.
Someone like Guardiola, someone like Silva, these classy, impressive managers, there's a lot more to be said about giving them time. And I would go as far as to say with Silva, even if Hull are relegated, I would still stick with him if he wants to stick around, because he clearly can manage a project and do things long term as
well. Look at someone like Gary Monk at Leeds, you know, hopefully...
Doing very well there.
Hopefully you would put him in that bracket as the more sort of classy, thoughtful
Eddie
managers.
Eddie Howe,
Eddie Howe's another one. I mean, because, you know, Leeds
are... It's not a case of English or not English, it's just a case of how they are individuals.
Exactly. But it seems to be largely at the moment. But that's the English coaching system's fault. It's not the fault of the foreigners.
But I think when Silva come in, if you look at him and the way he carries himself, he does seem to be quite an impressive individual. He turns out well. He's nicely dressed on a match day, and they went a goal down that game.
They did,
you know, and they turned it around and they dug in. And of course, there's an element of that they're trying to impress the new manager because they want to be in the team and they want new contracts and all that other stuff. But that's as good as red. But doesn't always happen, as we just said. Like it doesn't happen with Sam Allardyce at Palace.
I tell you, who else is another impressive individual? Andy Carroll.
Yes.
He's certainly a longer individual.
What a goal! Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
He had a lot of time to do it. Is that fair?
I can't. Oh, come on, Pete.
He had a lot of room.
Pete Donaldson.
What's wrong with closing a big old player
if
down?
If he had that at Newcastle, we'd be having a two-hour meeting before the show. Like, we could only dedicate 20 minutes to it.
How we can calm Peter down.
We're reopening the demon. That's all the player. Yeah. Not for the player, for that goal.
Yeah. I can't think of a goal, a sort of scissor kick like that. I might be opening myself up to ridicule here. Better than that in the Premier League.
Ian Wright said it's the cleanest hit he's ever seen on a scissor kick, and I can't think of one that wasn't as
well. Jim,
that was better struck.
What backs that up is the sheer pace of the ball.
Yeah,
it flew in the net. Yeah,
brilliant. Is it just not flipping annoying that he can't stay fit?
Like, yes, of course it is. Yeah.
I imagine he's very upset.
He probably injured himself doing that.
Well, that was worth it, though.
And I love the bit about the way, if you look at the replay, exactly as he strikes the ball, his ponytail whips.
Beautiful.
Like a ninja.
Is that right?
Yeah. Shows a little belly off as well.
Was Pete Crouch trying to grab it?
All the way from Stoke with his really long arm.
Really long Peter Crouch arm.
I think the physiology of Peter Crouch and Andy Carroll, they're completely different to every other footballer. So you've got goalkeepers and stuff, but like what I was saying is that I think you need a specialist doctor for long players.
Maybe you do.
Just longer. Because it's like, it's the difference between a giraffe and a horse, isn't it?
I'm 6'3", should I go to a different doctor to you?
Yeah.
Slaven Birch was funny in the press conference after this. Did you see it? Yeah. The first question, obviously, because the press is the press, was about Dimitri Payet. And he just went, let's talk about Carroll, for fuck's sake.
Did he?
That is amazing.
The direct quote is, let's talk about Carroll, Randolph, Noble. Come on, for fuck's sake.
That's lovely. Yeah. That
actually, Lanzini's goal as well deserves
it's beautiful.
That was a brilliant goal. I wonder if...
it was a dinky flick.
It was a dinky scoop.
It was a Barcelona finish, that was.
Yeah.
Do you think there's an argument, perhaps, that the team are a bit more relaxed with Payet not in the team? Because apparently he doesn't 100%. Speak English very well. He hasn't made much of an effort to integrate himself into the sort of... the dressing room culture.
All right, Brexit.
Doesn't really...
send him home. No, disgusting.
Why won't they assimilate into our culture?
that's a nasty trick there, Pete.
There are some places in the West Ham dressing room where I don't hear a single Payet speak English. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
It's literally wherever he is.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot to be said for a creative player like Lanzini, who is really a similar type... I know there's differences between him.
He's got some great goals.
Similar type creative player to Payet, he gets a bit of room to breathe, and it's the same with a lot of the other players in that team. They're not always looking for Payet. The pressure's not on Payet to perform when he clearly doesn't want to or he isn't able to. They could become a much more balanced, coherent unit because of Payet not being there. And one thing that was quite interesting is I saw a newspaper over the weekend saying that, because Bilic was complaining about Payet, saying that we've shown him loyalty, we gave him a big contract, we expect loyalty in return. And the newspaper pointed out that in 1997, Sumer Bilic did exactly the same thing at West Ham. Because he wanted to go to Everton.
That's right.
I do sort of think it's
probably
disappointing.
Probably wouldn't bring that up if I was with him.
Because he'd knock your block off. I do sort of just disappoint me a little bit that Chelsea are starting to sort of find their feet, and they've lost Costa for a similar sort of situation, and West Ham are starting to pick up as well. And, you know, you put these projects together and things are starting to come together, and then a player that's so important just loses his
I think West Ham are better off shot player. I mean, he's not that young.
You could have something similar at Crystal Palace, because obviously they need wins. They're absolutely desperate for wins at the moment. They can't get them. But apparently Newcastle are interested in re-signing Andros Townsend.
Would you have him back?
Benitez is got an eye on the Premier League next season.
Are they prepping too early?
bearing in mind we need players, because I think we've got 16 fit players for the Wednesday.
Hello Rafa. Are you trying to give me a call back in May?
April is right.
Give us a ring around February.
Yeah.
So as soon as Newcastle back on top, let's get a checkbook out.
What I would say is that if you can't, I think Atsu is a decent prospect, and I think if it can get him from Chelsea, I think he'd be a decent piece of work. Andros Townsend, he's playing in the Premier League, he knows what he's doing.
Newcastle are top at the moment, but I think Brighton have got a game in hand.
They do have a game in hand, and Leeds are on their way up, Peter. Right. Spurs hammered West Brom, just as we predicted.
I'm delighted I did all that research about Spurs' home game. That was an hour well spent.
Yeah, that throwaway line I said about somebody say 4-0.
If this was like a low budget like Hollywood B movie, it'd be cut to a flashback now of me poring over a desk with like a light going through Tottenham Hotspur's like home record from like 3 seasons ago. Completely pointless.
Did you like what Harry Kane said? It's a bit of a dig at maybe Diego Costa. He said that the Chinese Super League money wouldn't turn any Spurs players' heads.
Someone's never met Asuka Kaufa.
You know, it's interesting this stuff with exactly that happening, isn't it? Do you think, you know, the Premier League are kind of a little bit worried, just very sort of newly into this new TV deal, and just all these players getting their heads turned by China, and like sort of the top scorer of the team who are top of the league not turning up for a game. Like,
it could be
ITV Digital all over again.
Two things I love about it. What I love about it is that Premier League silly money's fine, but if it's Chinese team, mate, no, that's too much. That is too much. The Premier League now feel like the rest of Europe feel every transfer window. And the second thing is, it is a delicious irony that the team and the club in England, which essentially revolutionised this whole oligarch, sugar daddy type funding of a football club, and now having it bite them on the arse because Diego Costa looks like he wants... I think that the most recent report I read about... We were talking about Spurs, I appreciate that, but just quickly, the most recent thing I read about Costa is he was offered... a huge deal as a new contract, and he came back and said he wanted a deal which was £100,000 a week, bit higher than the highest earner at the moment, which is Eden Hazard. And he's been offered something like £500,000 a week at a Chinese club. Who've got the Chinese club in question? I forget who it is, but I think in China you're only allowed 3 overseas players, and
they've got
one spot left.
I think on the field of play,
but they've got one spot left. But whatever it is, they've got one spot left, and they want Costa.
The Chinese government have sort of stepped in and said, right, this is getting a little bit silly. I think they've got their sights on a World Cup, I forget which year it would be, but 2048 or 2050, whichever would be a World Cup year. They've got their eyes on that one.
Wow. So that is some long-term plan.
Yeah. I respect
but
that.
Anyway, back to Spurs. Yeah. This is an absolutely fantastic stat, I thought. Right, Spurs had 73% possession against West Brom, yet they still made twice as many tackles against them.
Mm. Wow.
So that shows how much they were at it. You know, West Brom were poor. I think there's no question about that. Yeah. West Ham were poor. It wasn't a vintage performance for them by any means. And Pulis sounded really, really despondent after the game. But Spurs were fantastic. In a different way, that was as good a performance as the Chelsea game.
Agreed. Yeah. Well, what they do so well is because they're so like relentless and also comfortable within that. They force teams into making mistakes. And that's exactly what they did against West Brom. They just... You can make them play against themselves almost if you hit them that hard.
And they're such a tight unit. They don't have the sideshows that other teams have. They don't have the manager mouthing off every second match.
Yeah, he carries himself very classy.
I think it'll get to about sort of March time and people are like, oh, hang on, they might win.
I think the way Pochettino carries himself will suit him very well at Barcelona after.
There we are, Koeman as well. We're going to talk more Premier League after this. Heads up, it's the Ramblers.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Before we talk about Premier League, we've got some emails with Pete Dalton.
We have got some emails. Let me just press the button and the button. There's the big button.
Have you got
big
a jingle?
Email button.
Got a jingle, Pete, for that? Or are you just trying to find the email?
Oh, emails.
It's a good one.
Charlie Bierman. Hello, Charlie Bierman. Good day, Ramblers.
G'day.
Guess where this guy's from?
New Zealand.
Yeah, is he from America?
I'm a Londoner, but I have been living in Australia since the English summer of 2016, in inverted commas. Mm. Oh, big talk.
So, last summer, then.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. As a lifelong... Chippy, already. Let him get to the meat of the bloody email. As a lifelong football fan, I was a little bit gutted that I'd missed so much football due to the time difference, the huge time difference. I therefore decided to conduct an experiment to ease my pain. Instead of waking up in the morning and checking the scores of the midnight kickoffs, I'd rely solely on your show to keep me updated on all things football.
What a mug.
What an idiot. Mug. Needless to say, I'm a bit lost. I know Chelsea are bossing things under Conte. The Swans have had their wings broken in multiple places. Mm. Pardew's peril of Palace's despairing 2016. Repeated updates on the best stadium migration ever and every single one of Mourinho's antics. Thanks, guys. Don't you dare change a thing. Thank
to,
you, Charlie.
To be fair, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
He's covered up in there.
Yeah, really. We're the colour commentating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Jonah. Hello, Jonah. All right, lads. My highlight of the week is this line of commentary from the ever-fruitful Jonathan Pearce. Harry Kane hat-trick! Harry Kane match ball! Harry Kane changing nappies tonight! Throwback to his immense confusion at goal line technology in the 2014 World Cup. Jonathan Pearce is very much an underrated provider of ramble goals.
The commentators have become this, almost have this insatiable need to now make like social commentary as well. Mm. They have to make it, they have to give so much meaning to it. And Martin Tyler, who, a commentator who I, you know, ordinarily rate as just a pretty good strat on the line.
He's
commentator.
A great commentator. Yeah.
He has lost a plot with Rooney at the moment. Every single time he wants to dish out. I think it's since he had that Aguero moment when they won the league. You know, Rooney's on this situation where if he scores another goal, he's going to break the record. But every time, Rooney would get the ball in his own half and try to go, could this be the moment? Calm down!
He wants to be there for it. But you contrast this to the great Barry Davis, of course. Yeah. And Davis used to say that he didn't like the chatty form of commentary. Now, Martin Tyler's a great commentator, don't get me wrong, and it's nice that you have slightly different styles, but wonderful, amazing moments of the game. When Franco Baresi misses a penalty in the World Cup 94 final. All he says was, what a sad moment for a great player.
Yeah.
And that's all you
and
need.
That says more than anything
else. Oh, that's all you need.
If you watch TV now, it's because a lot of them come through from radio, but if you watch a football match on TV now, you very rarely get any sort of quiet. Mm. It's always constant commentary. And Darren Fletcher on BT Sport, He just has chats with the co-commentator.
The trouble is they're probably instructed. They are. Commentary is an extremely hard job, and that's not obviously you know, if someone's...
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh, really?
I don't know what I'm
that
there.
Is the most insightful thing I've heard on this show this week.
I think that might be... Who's that? I think that might be Jorna.
The official football ramble commentator.
Can you turn the cyborg part of your body up for like just 1 hour?
Your internet's leaking out again.
I was asking it to move my arm for me.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow.
But yeah, anyway, I think we should move on. Is there another email?
I don't think I understand. hello
terrifying.
To...
It's strange. Your lips didn't even move.
The robots are taking over. Yeah.
Hello to Billy, a Croydon lad living in Nottingham. My highlight is a little bit of a dark one, but it's one that shows the true power of football as a healing power. I sadly lost my grandfather just after Christmas. As an avid Crystal Palace fan since he was a kid, my granddad inspired a generation of Palace supporters, myself, my dad, my brother included. One of my favourite memories was going with my granddad to the playoff final in Cardiff to watch us beat West Ham. Football's great, isn't it? Anyway, this week I've been thinking about moments to do with him and realised our last conversation had actually involved me breaking the news that Alan Pardew had been sacked as the Palace manager.
Wow.
Needless to say, this was met by immense joy from my granddad, and we had one last moment of football bonding, celebrating Pardew's eventual Selhurst demise. Since I've realised that this was of immense comfort to me, knowing that my granddad went to his grave, knowing that he's put words in there I can't use, was no longer in charge of our football team, and that I was the one to break the news to him. Football really is the best tonic to everything. P.S. Sorry if I placed the Keegan curse on the Tottenham West Brom game. Keep rambling. Thank you, Billy.
He sort of intimates that his grandfather would not like to have passed away while Alan Pardew was managing the team that he left.
He just said, good night.
So we could all get behind.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for that, Billy, and sorry for your loss, fella.
Excellent. Back to the Premier League. Manchester United 1, Liverpool 1. The big one at Old Trafford.
You said that Klopp and Mourinho in this line order, you said Klopp and Mourinho nearly had fisticuffs. I think that's an overstatement.
You think?
Yeah, I love Klopp pogoing up and down.
But they didn't have fisticuffs.
Wasn't he demonstrating that he was pogoing, that Mourinho was pogoing up and down in rage, I think?
I just think Klopp sometimes loses it. He does that weird thing where he grinds his teeth and just jumps up and down.
But what I love about it is it's not like premeditated, is it? It's not him showing off for the cameras. It's like, oh, he has absolutely just lost his mind for a bit.
It's not premeditated either.
I think we're losing our medicated minds.
Did I say premedicated? Yeah. I'm not even noticed.
Yeah, what have you heard about him? I also like the thing about Klopp is that it's funny because he seems like, on the face of it, he seems quite a cool guy, manager, talks about the music he likes and all that sort of stuff. But then, like, he does stuff like that, grinding his teeth and jumping up and down the spot. And then you notice he's wearing, like, really white, skin tight, pulled really tight laces trainers, which is not a cool thing to be doing. Mm-hmm. But somehow he manages to get away with being cool.
He's quite imposing though. When he wasn't remonstrating with Mourinho,
he's a big guy.
He looked pretty.
I found it quite funny at the end of the game when Klopp was saying that they deserved to win and Man United played a lot of long balls, and then Mourinho was saying, "Well, we deserve to win and they were playing a lot of long balls." It was just a hectic game and it could have gone either way. Chat.
I know you are. So what am I? Can I just make two admin points from this show? Particularly,
please.
There should have been two red cards in that game for our bet of the week.
Yeah.
Now I can understand not sending off Firmino. For the old shirt pull and the push. But the Rooney challenge was a definite red.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Studs up late on
an England colleague.
I know.
Yeah, but if they'd have sent him off, he definitely wouldn't have got the record in that game.
You are never going to beat my England catch record. Bang!
Pogba! In the box!
I know. Yeah, that was outrageous.
He had a day to forget.
He really did.
Not financially, but...
He was dreadful at just defending set pieces in general, as was pointed out extensively on Sky. But maybe he needs a tip from like a headerer like Fellaini. But it's the defensive side of his game was sorely lacking. Mm. And the thing with Pogba is he's been brought in as an all round midfielder, isn't he? Like every aspect of his game is going to be scrutinised because of the fee and because of the type of player we know he is. And that is sorely lacking. Now it seems like he either hits the bar or fizzes one just wide in every game, and that will click at one point. But
the ultimate all rounder, James Milner, scored.
Yeah,
and he equaled a very special record when the full time whistle blew. When he scores, his team never loses.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Has that never been the case in his career?
It's been the case, yeah, that they've never lost when he scored 46 Amazing. Premier League goals. I think that's in the league.
Okay.
And in his in every game they've gone on to win or draw. The man who has equaled, whose record he's equaled, Darius Vassell.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How about
strange
that?
Strange one. I guess both of those probably stand also for England not in 21s.
So, yeah, I was going to say, sadly,
Milner
not
still
for...
plays for
across 270 games.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Fellaini. We often say that, you know, Fellaini gets a fair old dig now and then, but he can be a handy player to bring off the bench if you just need a bit of chaos. The trouble is, you don't know which box the chaos could end up. But fortunately for them,
it's like playing with fire, isn't it? It's like almost like a footballing hand grenade.
Yep.
He's going to go off at some point on the pitch. You just hope it's in the other team's box. But on the Pogba thing, I don't like to see all the stuff that was going on around Pogba. I mean, you know, I know this makes me sound like an old man, but I've rallied quite a lot about individualism in football and stuff. And like, if we've got a player who's essentially getting his own hashtag and his own thing in his head, and emojis going around the pitch on a board, I mean. And then he has an absolute shocker. It just shows you the futility of it. I mean, don't do this because football's about the team. And they could have got, I mean, what would have been a creditable draw, well, it still was a creditable draw against Liverpool, but had he not done all that stuff, I doubt whether he would have got a lot of attention about how poor his performance was.
Well, at least find out what colour the opposition are going to be wearing, and then don't stick that colour in your hair.
It looked a bit like that, didn't it? Yeah.
Rufio.
Liverpool had 18-year-old Trent Alexander-Arnold starting ahead of Nathaniel Clark because he was injured.
He had a tough time. He had got bruised ribs, Nathaniel Clark, apparently, but Alexander-Arnold had a bit of a tough time.
He did. It's a bit of a baptism of fire. Not an easy one to make your first. I think it's his first league start. I think he's come on as a sub.
He got caught out a couple of times.
Yeah, it's a difficult one for him to come on. But then, is that the goal for younger players? He's thinking, one day I could have my own emoji.
Well, the talk was that, I mean, I don't know if it's true, but the talk was that Klopp didn't particularly rate Nathaniel Clark when he was coming into the club, and he was thinking about signing another right back. And then he saw Alexander-Arnold in training and was like, we don't need to because this kid's going to be amazing.
It's because Klopp's decent, but then
I think he's all right. Yeah,
but Klopp played a sort of a diamondy shape in midfield, and Man United had a bit of joy down the flanks. But a good stat for Liverpool fans is that they haven't lost to any of the other top six sides in the league this season. Obviously, other sides have. You mentioned Manchester City earlier. Even Spurs have, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United. But Liverpool haven't. So in the big games, they're doing good things, which is encouraging.
If Man United had turned it on a little bit earlier than 5 minutes from the end, they might have had a different story
It was great to see Zlatan lose it. Like, because everything about Zlatan seems to be quite sort of studied. But then when he scored that equaliser, he lost it. He was crazy. That's what you expect, that's what you get with me, point at yourself type thing. He went crazy.
Let's win this. And
that's
incredible.
That's that kind of mentality and that leadership that you need in those kind of games, and as we've talked about before. And that's the kind of leadership that Burnley have got now Joey Barton.
Right. We said. I don't know why for the bet of the week we don't just pick Burnley when they're at home, because their home record is incredible.
It was a lucky one.
It was, but
it's gone in, Peter.
He was only on the field for like 5 minutes, wasn't he?
That's all you need.
Yeah. They're up to 10th. And they're 10 points above the relegation zone. And I know we mentioned Tom Heaton earlier in terms of how little he's conceded from the shots that he's faced. I think it's 23.7% is what I've got written down here, so I know it is. I think, we were saying last week, it's kind of difficult to find new things to say about Burnley because they just do the same thing every week and largely at home it works. But I think there's an argument that Heaton, as an individual, is as important to Burnley as basically any other player in the league is, because they do come under the cosh and he does pull them out of it a lot.
What you get with Burnley is pretty much the whole season will be Burnley. They'll keep it really tight at home and nick a win, and away from home they'll lose. Yeah. That's basically it every single time.
Didn't lose at Old Trafford, did they?
No, they didn't.
Thanks great to advice. Your man Tom Heaton.
Yeah. Well, great advice though, during winter, put the heating on.
There we are, see?
He's starting the game. He's not bringing him on.
Charlie Austin wasn't there for a return to his old club, and Southampton do look a little bit toothless without him.
They're on a poor run, and they lost four in a row
A poor run. And the point I want to make about Southampton is, does Claude Puel look like he could be Ben Stiller's older brother?
Yeah, I can see that.
Because Puel does look quite a bit older than Ben Stiller. I don't know what the difference in age is.
They're only a few years.
Yeah, maybe. I bet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they're both in their 50s.
Makes sense, but I think Stiller, because I thought you were going to say Stiller's uncle.
Yeah, I think we might be thinking of a young Ben Stiller from perhaps our favourite Ben Stiller movie.
That one.
I'm generally a supporter of what Claude Puel's doing at Southampton. I think he's doing a good job.
But they're losing four in a row.
Exactly what I want to be doing.
Yeah. Well, they've only won two more games than the likes of Swansea, Hull, and Sunderland, and they're better than that. On paper, certainly. So, I don't know. Anyway, we're going to go abroad after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 out this Friday. we are determined to get the bet of the week right this week. We should have had it.
It wasn't our fault this week. It wasn't our fault.
Referee mugging off charity.
Referee Mike Oliver has not done his job.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Would you want? We can't legislate for that. And don't email in.
About that specifically.
Just don't email in.
Yeah. Let's go to La Liga, where Real Madrid's 40-match unbeaten runs come to an end in dramatic fashion.
Oh, God.
Away to Sevilla. Jorge Sampaoli doing a great job with them. I think they're only a point off Real Madrid.
Yeah,
I think
second, a point off, and Real Madrid, a point above Barcelona.
Real Madrid do have a game in hand. Jovetic, though, nice to see him having a good moment.
It's his second goal against Real Madrid in a week, because they played in midweek, didn't they?
In the Cup?
In the Cup, yeah. Mm. They drew 3-3, but Real Madrid went through 6-3 on aggregate. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah, like this has become a sort of quite tasty little kind of mini rivalry. It's brilliant.
Ramos
scored an own goal, didn't he? A really attacking header.
He got the wrong end. It was late in the game. The ball came in and he's like, right, that's me. Bang.
Best kind of own goal. Other than an own goal, that's the best kind of own goal for me.
They kept getting caught in position late on, like, over and over again, Real Madrid. It was most unlike them. It's only the second time in their entire history they've been leading with 5 minutes to go and lost the game.
That's amazing.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. said manly Jim. The ref was called Alejandro Hernandez, which I love as well.
Beautiful.
Hernandez squared.
And there we are.
To his pals.
We forgot to mention it a couple of weeks ago. Cesare Prandelli resigned as Valencia manager. We were talking about how finally they've got a good manager in place, and he's gone, I don't fancy this. I done?
Your friend and mine, Voro, the Spanish David Pleat.
Well,
he's in his fifth stint at caretaker now.
I tell you what,
in 6 years.
It's not
I'll
easy.
I'll always be here if you need me.
Yeah. they're going to call that, Jim, the task of Voro.
Hey,
wasn't Prandelli annoyed that they couldn't sign Simone Zaza, and now he's quit, they have signed him?
Just the chair and ringing him up having a dig. What are you up to? You still in bed? We got him. He's right over the line.
Just,
see you later.
Just to spite you.
He's sitting in your chair, you prick.
Yeah. Leave a voicemail at the end. And if you want a couple of tickets to the game, you're more than welcome to come along. See him do the business. Or not, because he's Simone Zaza. Yeah. When it comes to strikers, West Ham just get it right.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Well,
no.
Andy Carroll got it right against Palace. Before we go to the highlights of the week, just a brief mention of AFCON. It's the Africa Cup of Nations. It's begun. There's not been that many sort of standout incidents or the
Algeria-Zimbabwe game was a lot of fun.
It was great. I really enjoyed that game.
No, true, but I think what's great with the African Cup of Nations is you do get some absolute belters, or you get like a funny... The keeper, was it the Dr. Congo keeper with a funny celebration and all?
Yeah.
You know, you do get some moments like that. Although I think Zimbabwe, they had a nice dancey celebration.
They played well. I thought they bullied Algeria. Mm. They really did. I mean, Algeria have got a much better side than Zimbabwe. You get the impression with Algeria they're not as good at the back as they are going forward, because some of the players I've got on midfield and up front, the Mahrez, Slimani, Brahimi, Bentaleb, Guardiola of Watford, of course. But at the back, they don't look that great. I mean, they've conceded recently to Tanzania and Ethiopia. But Zimbabwe's penalty was very, very soft in that game.
They did well.
But one of the things I wanted to mention about this game is that Zimbabwe have got a player called Teenage Hadibi.
Amazing.
And he plays for Chicken Inn.
Oh, brilliant. That's class.
And they've also got a player called Hard Life Zirakevwi.
Oh,
lovely.
His first name's Hard Life.
He was born at the bottom of a hill, wasn't he?
Yeah. And don't forget their player at Marvellous Nakamba as well.
Amazing.
They are bringing it home.
That's Pogba-esque, isn't it?
Is Danger Fourpence from there?
I'm not sure, but he's another classic. Yeah. There was talk on Twitter, I forget who it was, but someone tweeted me saying a great game you can play is NFL player or Dorset Village, because there's so many NFL player names that are crazy.
Hmm.
But it's the same in the Africa Cup of Nations. Yeah. With teams like Zimbabwe, it's great.
One thing I would say, it was good to see Aubameyang scoring for Gabon, the host nation. You know, it was a shame for them that Guinea-Bissau equalised in injury time. Or great for those the Guinea-Bissauians. I'm not sure what you actually call someone from Guinea-Bissau, but maybe something like that. But it was good to see, if you remember, I can't remember if it was Gabon or Equatorial Guinea when they shared the cup, which one was criticised heavily for no fans being there because they put the ticket prices up ridiculous. Yeah. So forgive me if it's not relevant for Gabon, but it was good to see a good crowd in that opening game.
Senegal beat Tunisia, and Sadio Mane got off the mark with the penalty as well.
Always good.
That game was one of the best games I've seen in ages. Mm. Some of the defending Senegalese defender, I forget who it was now, he almost scored one of the best own goals I've ever seen.
That also happened in the Algeria-Zimbabwe game, like very, very nearly.
This Senegalese almost own goal, ball come across, the defender's with no one around him, he's about 30 yards out of goal. The ball comes over. Clearly, he's a right-footed player. He swings it at his left. It loops up, goes 100 mile an hour over the keeper's head, and smashes off the stanchion. That's the line, comes out again. He looked like he couldn't believe his luck. He looked like he'd seen a ghost.
I've not seen a live African Cup of Nations match yet, and I got really excited watching the highlights of the other matches. Yeah. I sat down and watched Ivory Coast Togo earlier on.
Turgid.
Classic opening match.
It was awful.
For two decent
teams.
The best thing that happened was Boney came on for Zaha. So two Wilfrieds exchanged places. That was the most exciting thing that happened.
It's good for Zaha to be out there and get his international football.
Indeed. Good for Wilfrieds everywhere.
How many Wilfrieds are at the African Cup of Nations? I don't know.
Email in.
DJ. Let's get to the highlights of the week.
Yes, okay, we've got some highlights of the week. What have we got here? My highlight of the week was generally in the Evening Standard today, seeing Diego Costa training on his own. He probably started a fight somehow. I don't know. One of those blokes in the wall. You know, fake walls over
the metal aluminium guys.
Yeah, probably took a dive. What do we got here? Nick Wilson. Bury winning a game after signing players during the week in positions they needed. Funny what happens when you actually play players in the right position. Now, the context of this for Nick's benefit is Bury won their first game this week in 21 attempts. They'd gone 20 games without a win.
That's
and,
loads of games.
They beat Peterborough 5-1. James Vaughan, ex-Everton, still the holder of the youngest Premier League scorer in history, I think. He scored 4 goals in 20 minutes. A haul.
Nice. Oof.
So, but nice. It's feast or famine for Bury at the moment. I hope they ain't got another run when they don't win in 20. Daniel Torsney said Paul Pogba shaving his new emoji into his head, then having an absolute nightmare against Liverpool, losing his mind both on the pitch and in the barbers. This is a great one from Kenny Munro. Hello to you, Kenny. Kevin Lasagna being signed by Udinese, then loaned back to Carpi for the rest of the season. They thought he was ready, but then decided to bung him back in the Serie B oven for 6 months, just to be sure.
Lovely.
This is from Rick Buren. The presence of Tom Davis and Gareth Barry in the Everton midfield, making commentators say, Barry Davis, Barry Davis.
Yes.
Like Marcus in his sleep.
Well played, Tom. Well played.
And what else have I got here? Fraser Hume got in touch with the Jonathan Pearce thing, which you guys have already mentioned, so hello to you, Fraser. Richard Lenani got in touch saying both Patrick Kluivert and Henrik Larsson's sons making their Eredivisie debuts at the weekend. I bet you feel old now.
Tell you, Patrick Kluivert's son, I don't think I've ever seen a footballer's son who looks more like his dad, apart from maybe Mini Vincent Kompany. But it's just like a regen.
Paul McGrath's son looks exactly like him. Mm. It's worth checking out.
Kluivert's son, he came on, Justin Kluivert, didn't he? He scored two.
He played at the weekend. He didn't score, but I think he came on as. I think he started this weekend. But
yeah, it was his first start.
Oh, sorry. I haven't seen the goals, but I just thought I'd share that from Richard.
I got a highlight from Australia.
Go on.
Western Sydney Wanderers played Sydney FC. A Wanderers keeper, he signed from rival Sydney FC, had plastic snakes thrown at him.
Oh, the scene is so typically Australian.
they were stuck in the net. The thing is, though, Australia has some horrible snakes.
Yeah, real ones.
Genuine
snakes.
Well,
he's the worst one, apparently.
Is that how you deal with them? If you see a snake, you throw another snake.
Out snake them.
Listen, next week, step up, throw real snakes.
Yeah.
Throw real ones.
You got to out snake them.
He had an excellent game after that as well, even better.
Kept a clean sheet.
Yeah.
It was 0-0, yeah. So he had the last laugh.
Yeah.
Any more?
I've got nothing.
We're all done. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been a pleasure talking to you, everybody. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See you later.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions
over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.